Money markets. Gaddafi is now confirmed dead, which proves, if anything, that if all the money on the planet wants you dead, it's simply a matter of time. Too many people can make too much money helping you get dead. NATO has announced that it's going to meet on Friday to decide whether or not to stop the bombing. That's expected. We've now seen about a $1 billion bombing program inundate Libya. It's achieved a number of things. First, it's driven the Chinese out. Go back and listen to Jim Norman's wonderful interview on the oil card, and that's part of what the Libya issue is about, as to who's going to harvest the rich resources in Africa. It ensures the flow of oil back to Europe, and it ensures that the rich resources of the Western powers, or Libya's rich resources, will be available to the Western powers. The bombing has done tremendous damage to Libya. This was a country, it's not only one of the richest countries in Africa, but it enjoyed a very high quality of life. It's expected that a lot of the things Gaddafi was responsible for are going to change. One being, he encouraged a lot of local circulation of capital within Africa. In addition, very high subsidies of the local population from the oil wealth of the country. Interestingly enough, as the son of an African, President Obama is certainly a smart political choice to lead the growth of the American military presence and influence into Africa as America and Europe compete with the Chinese for the oil, minerals, water, and agricultural resources. Libya was one of the countries that held out of the sort of central banking system. Iran and North Korea are also two, which proves the point that if you're going to resist supporting the dollar reserve game, it's best to have nuclear weapons. The markets continued to go sideways this week with gold and silver down on the news from Libya. That's not surprising. The more resources available for the slow burn is usually depressing on the precious metals markets. There's an outpouring of stories. I noted them last week. It's happening again this week on the size of the student loan market, indicating trouble brewing in that market, particularly as unemployment rises and the economy continues to be slow. We saw mortgage rates continue at 4% this week. The administration is trying another proposal to allow creditworthy homeowners to refinance underwater mortgages. That's a very important election issue. The last efforts haven't worked, but the government is now negotiating with major banks over both the foreclosures and the refinancing programs. If that goes through, California will be a major beneficiary. It leads the nation with 2.1 million mortgages in which homeowners are underwater and can't refinance. A very interesting interview this week and last week with Jim Rickards, who talked about the banks being the new China. What he says is, as we continue to watch the financial bailouts, the banks, both in Europe and the United States, increasingly put in a regulatory vise. It makes it possible for the governments to require the banks to basically replace China in the treasury market. Be interesting to see what's going on with the pension funds. Of course, the pension funds still own a lot more than China, Saudi, and a lot of the foreign buyers. But what he's saying is the slow burn can continue because the banks will balloon their balance sheets with treasury. So they'll be forced to raise deposits and they'll lend them long to the government. And that's going to keep propping the dollar for a long time to come. I agree with Rickards. I think it's a very astute comment. It underscores the importance of circulating capital to each other without going through the system or being forced to go through the system. In that vein, I would note a report from Louisiana up on the blog that they're trying to outlaw the use of cash in secondhand transactions now because cash is legal tender. I'm not sure how you can do that under the Constitution, but it does make you sit back and say, An excellent question came in from Dallas. Catherine, what are your sources in D.C. saying about the direction the Super Committee is taking? My congressman, who is co-chairman, refuses to say anything. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I continue to watch, and I haven't seen anything that struck me as particularly meaningful. What a Super Committee means is that provisions which are important can suddenly get instituted. Change can get instituted very quickly with little notice. But as of yet, we haven't seen that, so we just have to watch. I did put up on the blog another comment about just saying no to a constitutional convention. You see more more and more continued things circulating on the internet proposing constitutional amendments and conventions. And I just, again, I warn you, and of course things like the Super Committee make me nervous when those kinds of changes are coming afoot. It's been a slow news week, so I'm going to cut the news off faster than expected and go to the interview because there's an awful lot to talk about.